a song. Hey, you make me wanna roll my windows down and cruise.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The new Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert in the first round. See them in action at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Still to come here in this first hour at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will be calling us. At 2 o'clock, we are going to go around the NFL with the Blitz. And then at 2:15, we're going to hear from Ray Farmer, some sound bites from his press conference after the draft, and we'll play after further review in the second hour as well. But now it's time to get to your phone calls. Nathan Zagura alongside the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. And we're going to go to Jim in Wadsworth talking about Joe Hayden, who has signed an extension with the Browns for 5 years, keeping him in Cleveland through 2019 and reportedly making him the highest paid cornerback in the National Football League. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Another great day to be a Browns fan.
That's the spirit.
It is.
And, you know, what a better guy. I mean, there's not a better guy that could get a contract like this. You know, Joe, just like you said, he's totally bought into Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You see him at Cavs and Indians games. You know, he's been on NFL Network at the Combine, and he just represents the city of Cleveland so well, and plus obviously the fact that he's one of the best corners in the league.
He is one of the best corners in the league. The stats bear that out. You hit the nail on the head. He is a Clevelander in the sense that he has embraced this town. He's embraced every part of this town.
Right.
And he really is one of the leaders. And when one of the leaders of your team who has an opportunity to leave, and you know if he hit the open market, he would command unbelievable money. When one of those leaders says, you know what, I don't need to put my foot in the free agent
right.
pool. I want to be here, and makes a statement the way that Joe Hayden did today. I think it only can be something that reverberates through the locker room and is great for the morale of this team.
I think he wants to be more of a leader, too.
I think so.
I think he respected DeQuell Jackson a great deal, and I think DeQuell definitely was, you know, he was the veteran leader on the Browns defense, if not the entire team. And I don't think Joe wanted to overshadow him, and it was easy to overshadow him because of the position Joe played.
Sure.
and how many big plays he was involved in. But I think now he'll even grow into that even a little bit more now because of a contract like this. And it won't be boastful. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, he's a great player. And he's going to have a young player on the other side of him now that's going to need him. I mean, it's the first thing that Justin Gilbert talked about on Friday at the press conference when a question finally came his way.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he handled that situation perfectly. But really, one of the first things he said was, hey, listen, I'm going to watch everything Joe Hayden does. I'm going to listen to everything he says. And that is going to be the importance of Joe Hayden. You know, I think he's helped Buster screen, and I think that now he's going to have to do this. And when you do that, you automatically become the leader.
There's no question, and I think you look at it as exactly right. And when I talked to Justin Gilbert in New York, literally minutes after he was drafted, the first thing he said was how excited he was to play alongside Joe Hayden. And Joe Hayden now, you're right, he's going to assume the leadership
yep.
role. He's the face of the franchise in many ways on the defensive side of the ball, and I think he is right now the face of the franchise for the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be the highest paid player on the Browns if these contract details are true, and he's the kind of guy who I think is going to receive this kind of contract, see this kind of responsibility, embrace it, work harder, and lead even more, which
right.
I think is great news for this team because
yeah.
he's a guy, as you mentioned, the hiccup. I'm fine with – these guys are kids. When you come down to it, at the end of the day,
yeah.
these are children. And if you go back to the time in your life when you were 23, 24 years old, and you were a multimillionaire, and you kind of had the world by the short hairs, you were a person who would have been – you don't know how you would have responded to that.
I agree.
And to have, you know, someone who's been through it, matured from it, and gotten to this point, I couldn't be happier for Joe Hayden. I think I couldn't be happier for the Browns. I think it's a great day for this franchise. Are we going to keep the phone calls going? 216-578-0850. We can talk Joe Hayden. A great day there. We can talk about the draft for the Cleveland Browns. We got Ron in Brazyburg. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Hi, Jim. Nathan.
How are you doing?
Hey, Ron, where is Brazyburg?
Oh, it's down around Zanesville, about 25 miles out of Zanesville.
All right. Okay.
Hey, guys, I'm been a Browns fan for probably more than 50 years, and I like the way this new regime is headed. Mm-hmm. I like what he's doing, what he's saying. I'm glad they didn't take Sammy Watkins with the first round. Didn't he have a drug problem?
He had a little problem, I think, his freshman year at Clemson.
He had a hiccup, yes.
Yeah, and we might have had another Josh Gordon situation with him. I think our biggest need was the cornerback, and I think we got that fixed. I don't understand why they traded up to get him. I think if they got him at 9 or got a really good cornerback at 9, if somebody did take him. And I'm not sure about Johnny Manziel yet. I'll have to wait and see if he's the second coming to Joe Namath. But
that's a very good analogy.
It is,
though.
Broadway,
let me just say this though about trading up like that. Okay, you know, every team gets information, and they have feelers out there. And the only thing I can say, and they haven't come out and made this public at all, but Nathan, normally when they do that, and you're so close to the pick, they have got some kind of feeling, some kind of information that he wasn't going to be there at 9. They had to go up to 8 to get him.
There was a concern at the time when the Browns went from 9 to 8. There was a concern that maybe Minnesota might take Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or there was a concern that Detroit, who had been long rumored to be
yes,
after him, was going to come up to 8. So that was – maybe it was – in hindsight, it could have been something that wasn't ultimately necessary. But when they made this move, this was a move made for Justin Gilbert. And once the offer was made so good to them with a future first-rounder that they passed on Watkins. They almost drafted Watkins. Ray Farmer said as much talking to Peter King in the Monday Morning Quarterback. But once they made that move, it was a move to get Justin Gilbert. And as you heard in the audio, which is available at clevelandbrowns.com, of the phone call, Mike Penn said, I'm going to do backflips when we get this guy. I told him, I said, if we draft Justin Gilbert, I'm going to do backflips. That's how excited he was. That's how much he wanted him. So they wanted to just secure it and felt that they were very, very happy about moving back, getting that first, mm-hmm. but then wanted to make sure they got Gilbert. And when they did that, then it kind of laid out the draft, and as things unfolded, the opportunity to come out and get Manziel was great. And I'm sure you've heard the story now of Johnny Manziel texting the quarterback's coach, Dowell Loggins, of the team, like, come get me. We are going to tear this league up together. And that precipitated, you know, in many ways, kind of was right before the move was made and it was official. But a great first day for a team that gets their number one cornerback on their board, which was a huge need, the number one quarterback on their board, mm-hmm. again, a huge need, and a future first on the first day.
Yeah.
An exciting day.
Now, I haven't heard this from you before we go back here to calls, and I know we got a lot of people on the line, but you were in the hall on Thursday night. And now, mind you, everybody, the Jets and Giants were not making that pick, okay? And normally, I mean, let's face it, that's a very heavy New York crowd in there,
yeah.
on that opening night, especially when it's packed. And that, when Manziel's name was announced, that place went absolutely berserk. Now, you could anticipate, and rightly so, what was going on around here, okay? But I'll tell you what, that was it had to be amazing. It sounded that way.
So as soon as it was announced that the Browns had traded into that position,
yeah.
there was a palpable buzz in the building.
Yep.
And everybody assumed it had to be John.
This is it for John. Yeah.
So it's akin to being in a big fight when the fighters come out and there's that electricity.
Yeah, well,
I get
yeah.
if you look, I get a little goosebumps yeah. thinking about it right now. And the buzz was there, and you just weren't ready to completely unleash until you heard Roger Goodell say the name Joe Hayden. I'm looking at Joe Hayden. To say the name Johnny Manziel. And when he said the name, as Joe Hayden walks by pumping his fist in the air as a man should on a day like this, when they said the name Johnny Manziel, it was euphoric.
Yeah.
Everybody there, Jets fans, as you pointed out, who make up a bulk of that crowd, were chanting, Johnny, Johnny, Johnny. It was one of the coolest moments, and I was thrilled to be a part of it. But yeah, it was an absolutely electric moment in Radio City Music Hall. Let's go now to Ben in Jacksonville with us. Ben, welcome to the team.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it.
Super excited and stoked for the Joe Hayden contract extension. I don't think Cleveland could ask for a better leader for our team than the city really needs. My question is, so, you know, I guess this is all speculation somewhat, but I'm reading online. Do you guys maybe, are you able to break down exactly what this contract means? I'm reading 45 total guaranteed and 23 fully guaranteed over 5 years. I'm not really sure exactly how contracts break down in that sense and what those terms mean.
Sure. The reports on it, again, the Browns have not confirmed the financial terms, so, again, take this with These are the reports out there about the deal. $68 million total. There is up to $45 million in guarantees. A lot of those times, without seeing the contract, I can't comment, but could be an injury type of a guarantee. Could be if he's on the team at this certain point. $23 million of it is fully guaranteed, according to the report. So that means no matter what, that's what he's going to get. The rest of the money could either be about a roster situation, a decision on a date during a year. I don't know the specifics there, but the bottom line is Joe Haden is, according to these reports, now the highest paid cornerback in the National Football League. And it's a good thing.
You know, Nathan, and you know, Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have been throwing out this theme, and I think they drafted by it, and they're going to play by it. We want to play like a Brown. And Joe Haden plays like a Brown. But here's the other thing, the more important thing. Joe Haden loves to be a Brown.
He does.
And that's what you want here.
That's
you want
important.
These guys to love to be a Brown and love to be a Cleveland Brown and experience the city and the love that the players in the 80s and before that and the Doug Deacon eras, in that era, they experienced, because it's an incredible marriage. That's why so many of those older players have stayed in Cleveland, because of the loyalty and the love and affection and that they've gotten from the fans. And Joe Haden buys into that.
He buys into it, and I think it is very important, and I've heard this right from his mouth, to be here when this thing turns around, and he feels more confident than ever that we're at that point, we're at that tipping point for this Cleveland Browns franchise, and for him to get this done, I think was a great, great thing. We'll take one more call, and then we got Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram joining us. J.R. and Warren, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, great show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about moving up from 9 to 8 to get Gilbert. I think when they passed on Watkins and knowing what they knew about Gordon, they really wanted to get Evans. When Evans went off the board, that's when they jumped up, because they knew they needed to have Gilbert and they couldn't afford to lose him. So I'm okay with the aggressive move, but do you think, knowing what they knew about Gordon, that they really hoped to get Evans and they thought that they could still get him by passing on Watkins and moving slightly down the board?
My understanding of it is that this move, when it was made, was to get Justin Gilbert. Now, if it turned out that Evans was there, could that have raised a dilemma? Potentially. I don't think they expected Evans to be there when they moved to 9. If they were moving for Evans, I think they would have tried to go to 7 with Tampa Bay. When they went to 9, they had to know it was a very real possibility Evans wouldn't be there, and that move was made, in my opinion, for Justin Gilbert. As Ray Farmer said multiple times, the real area where they thought they might go wide receiver was probably pick 35.
Good point.
That was the pick for wide receiver for the guys that they wanted. There are some guys that they love, but when they looked at their big board, there was nobody who ranked even close to as high as Joel Bitonio at the time that they made that pick, and so they stuck true to their board. Now, it was possible, and a guy that I loved, Allen Robinson, almost made it to 71.
From Penn State. Yeah.
Almost made it to 71, which would I think would have been a dream scenario. But know this, Christian Kirksey, who they got from Maya, was also the guy on their board that was by far the highest at that time, and so they were very happy and, again, stuck true to their board. They're not done addressing the receiver position. Ray Farmer has made that very clear.
Really, I think, folks, you have to realize this, that when they make a move like that from 9 to 8, they had some kind of feeling that the player that they wanted was Gilbert, and that there was a chance that they were going to lose him by sitting there. And, yeah, it would have been great still to have that number 1 and 4 coming up next year. Normally when they make that kind of a move after they made the first move, it's because we got to go. We got to go right now. Got to go right now. We're gonna be empty-handed here in a second.
Absolutely, and that's why they made the move, and they got their guy, Justin Gilbert. All right, when we come back, we're going to get our guy, Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram, to talk about the Joe Haden deal today, talk about the draft as well. Nathan Zagura, Jim Donovan, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.